Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God, and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JC, and you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going, as always, not only on this show, but all throughout the day here on Chicago's Home for Sports. My friend, it's good to be able to see you again.
Great to see you. Happy and healthy New Year to you. It's a blessing to be here with you each and every morning, and really excited for 2023. Shay, JC, it's awesome to all be together. After what we watched last night, it just puts, you know, sports is great, but it puts everything in perspective.
No question about it. Yesterday, Monday Night Football, Buffalo safety DeMar Hamlin had his heartbeat restored on the field after suffering cardiac arrest during the team's game Monday night against the Bengals. He is currently in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital, according to the Bills statement that they released early this morning. The chilling scene midway through the opening quarter led the league to postpone the game about 90 minutes after kickoff. Now, as we were watching this, Cap, all of this happening at one time. We're watching Monday Night Football. The Bulls and Cavaliers are playing. Other NBA games are playing. And then all of a sudden, you're just looking up and you see a young man at his 24 years of age make a tackle on T. Higgins, and then he just collapses. I mean, what's your initial reaction when you see something like that?
So I had, like you, I had the Bulls on. I'm flipping over to Monday Night Football. I normally go in the basement because I got multiple screens there. Mm-hmm. But my son and grandson were over for dinner. Little Ben wants ice cream. We're watching the basketball game. Flip over, there's the football game. So I get in the car and I drive to go get him ice cream. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do. And I walk in the house and I'm not hearing any chatter coming out of the family room. And I walk in, and my Garrett was a college football player. I go, whoa, what's going on? And he's like, it's not good. Well, what? Somebody's being taken out in ambulance. I assume it's a hit, and we see it happen a lot. Mm-hmm. Guy goes down, and they have to put him on the board and the whole deal. He said, we think he had a heart attack. What? Mm-hmm. And then I look on my phone, and there's the replay, and he just collapses. We were just silent.
Yep.
Oh my God. And to watch the medical professionals go to work and do what it is they do, and then to read multiple people that were there. Every team has a emergency scenario, and they rehearse it every summer. If somebody goes down, Jonathan, here's your job, and this one's this job. And it's rehearsed. And they said it worked to perfection, how fast they got out there and got the ambulance on the field. And then when the ambulance paused leaving the stadium so his mom, who was in the stands, could catch up and ride with him to the hospital, that was a good sign that they didn't have to, it wasn't so life-threatening at that moment that they had to go. They waited for her. I thought maybe that's a good sign. You were trying to grasp at anything that was a good sign, but to watch what we watched, it was chilling.
It really was. And so, and just like you, I'm in the Hood Cave, and I've got the sound up on the Bulls and Cavs because the Bulls got off to this great start, and we're seeing this collapse, how this is happening for the Bulls. and I've got the Laker game on Monday Night Raw on another screen, and I'm seeing what we normally see. I thought I missed the play, and I actually did, Cap, because when I start to see players huddling around a player, I said, boy, we see this has become so commonplace, like, what's wrong? Because I don't have the volume up. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. Then we see that replay, as you mentioned, of Hamlin just falling down and then collapsing. And then he received oxygen, according to the ESPN broadcast, placed in an ambulance, and was taken off the field some 16 minutes after he collapsed. It's like, wait a minute, what is going on? And then we come to find out what really happened. And I just want to point this out. I'm just glad that whether it was the players or the coaches of the National Football League that made the decision, I'm just glad the game was canceled, because that was just a hot controversy on social media on why isn't this game canceled? What's going on? You know, people pointing the fingers at Roger Goodell. Here's what I look at. Cap, there are some that will look at this and say the game should be immediately canceled as soon as the ambulance hit the field. But we didn't know exactly what was going on until it was described to us at ESPN of exactly the condition of Hamlin. And so I'm just glad the game was canceled, because it gave me that WWE vibe of Owen Hart from Kansas City, that situation where Owen falls from a broken harness that he was had above the ring and then fell to his death. And then Vince McMahon said, well, you know what? He's dead. Move on with the show. You know, just like, well, now time for another match. And it's like, wait a minute. If someone dies or if there's a tragic situation, you stop the show. It's entertainment, for God's sakes. You don't have to continue to play. I know that there were some that's thinking, okay, we'll move the drill. You don't move the drill in that situation. The raw emotion from the Bengals and from the Bills and everyone around that just told you there's no need for another snap. There's no need for more football after what happened in that tragedy.
I was talking to a good friend of mine who broadcasts around the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And he called, and we were just going over what had happened. And then he said Joe Burrow, who I love Joe Burrow. I'm a big fan. Big fan. And I'm a big Josh Allen fan.
Mm-hmm.
I hear they're good dudes. They're great football players. He said Joe Burrow left the locker room and went right to the Bills locker room and was consoling Josh Allen, who was just in tears of what was going on.
Yeah.
And they said here came some other members of the Bengals into the opposing locker room, which you don't see that. That's their space. You do not see opposing players in other locker rooms. They said to see what they did and come together and bond and try and console, it was pretty heartwarming to see in this horrific situation the way the players came together. I thought it was really cool. I thought the medical personnel, hats off to them, man. That's why you rehearse these situations. You hope it never happens.
Those are the real heroes, the EMTs.
Those are the heroes.
Yeah.
What they were able to do, and they were able to restore his heartbeat. And we don't have any more information yet. When we get it, we'll pass it along to you. But, yeah, to see how fast they all got into action and everything worked the way it's supposed to work. We just say a prayer for that guy, man. Sad.
Shay, I know that you were watching as well this Monday Night Football broadcast. It just gave me that feeling of what happened to Shazier from Pittsburgh or Dennis Byrd from the Lions, as far as, hey, you know what? We know it's a very physical sport, but when you see the type of silence and the type of events that happens, you're just like, it blows your mind because you don't know what's next. I mean, a guy having to be revived on the field, it's something that is always in the back of your mind. You hope everyone is safe after such a violent game, any game for football.
It really it put things in perspective when you're watching it, because I remember sitting down and being so excited. I mean, it was the game of the year. It was the most consequential game of the NFL season. It's Bills-Bengals. I'm so amped to watch this. I remember thinking in the first quarter, this is probably going to be the highest regular season rated game, at least on Monday night, in a long, long time. And then this happens, and it just, like, that all came to a stop. You don't think about any of that anymore. It's just, is he okay? Is he going to be okay?
Yeah.
And we got to move forward from this. But I got to tell you, too, it was an interesting thing, because if they, like, when they had the talk about restarting the game, I didn't want to watch football any more than they wanted to play it. I don't think anybody wanted to watch football in that moment.
I'm just glad that they whether it was the players, was the coaches, the NFL, whomever, Troy Vincent, or those in the front office, Cap, as long as they came to the consensus, like, yeah, there's no need to continue to play this game, I think that's great. I think that what really hit home for me, Cap, is that you're seeing these EMTs, these first responders, Cap, they're cutting his pads to get to his chest.
Yeah.
Cutting his football pads, like, we got to get to his chest so we can get his heart revived.
Correct.
That's serious business right there.
Serious, serious business. And you think back, the only other time we've seen something like this, Dennis Byrd was a neck injury.
Yeah.
Ryan Shazier, yeah. Mike Utley. Mm-hmm. We've seen a bunch of those. God forbid we ever see another. But in a game at Soldier Field in 1971, Bears and Lions, Chuck Hughes had a heart attack and died. And they said later, they called it hardening of the arteries. He had high cholesterol, all of that. But he didn't get hit and then go down like this. He just was jogging back to the huddle, down, done, gone. Horrible. But we did not have medical personnel back then with the defibrillators and all of the things now that, as I said earlier, if you're just tuning in, they rehearse this in every stadium before the season starts. And 99.9% of the time, the medical personnel sit there just like a fan and watch the game. The one time that it has to work, it did. They did all they could for this young man, and now he has been sedated. They have a breathing tube down his throat, but they said his marketing manager tweeted last night, his vital signs are stable. He's now been sedated. So we'll just keep saying a prayer, and if we get any type of breaking news, we will give it to you then. But, yeah, just a horrific situation to watch on the field.
The broadcast team of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, as well as Scott Van Pelton, Ryan Clark, and others around that broadcast did a really good job of trying to explain what was going on and try to talk through a very difficult situation. Ryan Clark last night with more on Hamlin.
It's about a young man at 24 years old that was living his dream. A few hours ago was getting ready to play the biggest game of his NFL career, and there's probably nowhere else in the world he wanted to be. And now he fights for his life. And when Damar Hamlin falls to the turf, and when you see the medical staff rush to the field and both teams are on the field, you realize this isn't normal. You realize this isn't just football. And so many times in this game, and in our job as well, we use the cliches, you know. I'm ready to die for this. I'm willing to give my life for this. It's time to go to war. And I think sometimes we use those things so much, we forget that part of living this dream is putting your life at risk. And tonight, you know, we got to see a side of football that is extremely ugly. That side of football that no one ever wants to see, mm-hmm. or never wants to admit exists. When you see both teams on the field crying in that way, your first thought is Damar Hamlin.
Yep.
The second thought is his family. And this isn't about a football player, right? This is about a human. This is about a brother. This is about a son. This is about a friend. This is about someone who is loved by so many that you have to watch go through this. We should remember that these men are putting their lives on the line to live their dream. And tonight, Damar Hamlin's dream became a nightmare for not only himself, but his family and his entire team.
Ryan Clark with Scott Van Pelt last night on the coverage of Hamlin on Monday Night Football. 9 straight losses for the beloved. Talking about the latest with the Bears coming up next on the ride back to work. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J-Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Albert Breer with the latest on what happened with Mr. Hamlin and everything else around the National Football League at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Well, Cap, you know, what we saw on Sunday was the worst loss of the year for the Bears. And that's saying something for this team that just has a string of L's as of late. My thing is, if everyone feels like Justin Fields is the guy, when will we see the fruit of his labor and the offense come together? If Justin Fields is the guy, and everyone is from a consensus, from a national standpoint, the majority of people think, okay, the Bears finally got their guy. So exactly when does this come together? Because no matter how talented you think that Justin Fields is, or if you think there's more room for him to grow, like, when will we see him in a winning environment with the Bears? Like, when's that going to... I mean, listen, you and I are on the same page when it comes to Justin Fields.
Correct.
Okay, so, but it's one thing to look at the talent, but it's more than just the talent that's going to get you there. You've got to be able to have a plan in place. And we could talk about from the outside, well, you got all this free agency, and you've got draft capital, you have all these things. But, Cap, that doesn't necessarily mean that next year or even in 2 years that the Bears will get to where they want to be. Just because you have one talent, you have to have more than just the one talent. And even that talent has some question marks around it.
So we are all assuming, all of us are guilty of it. We're assuming that Ryan Poles is going to hit on all his draft picks, on all of his free agent signings, and that everybody he wants in free agency automatically is going to the Bears if they want him. Automatic.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I reached out to one of my guys who works in the league as a scout who I went to school with. I said, let me ask you a question. Let's assume they have the number one pick or the number two pick, and they don't, in their idiotic ways at times, find a way to beat the Vikings this Sunday. So they guaranteed at least number two.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Texans lose, they get number one. Either way. He said, Cap, 55% of first-round picks make it and become really, really impactful players. He goes, go back through the last 7, 8, 9 drafts and tell me how many guys got the second contract with the same team. That percentage is even lower. He said, so just because you're picking there does not mean that the next Lawrence Taylor is rolling into Chicago. It just doesn't work that way.
Correct.
He said, you guys are years from competing to go to a Super Bowl. Years. I go, how many years? He said, 3 at least. And that's if Poles is generationally good at his job.
That's a fair number. It's a fair number. Even though I told you at the end of 24, I expect the Bears to be somewhat in the mix, and I'm giving them credit because of the extra wild card.
Correct.
Now, here, we don't usually judge a draft after the first year, but we could just talk about what's happening in the here and now. Say, for instance, that the draft that the Bears have in the next couple of years are guys like Brisker and Braxton Jones and Kyler Gordon and Dominic Robinson, you know, those picks. And what about those guys? Brisker, Gordon, Jones, Robinson. Any of those guys, for sure, you could say, for sure, in 2 or 3 years, they're going to pay dividends for the Bears.
I believe Brisker and Gordon will. I really do.
Yeah,
Dominic Robinson? Yeah, whatever. Who was the fourth one? Velus Jones.
Yeah, Velus Jones is in there as well. So
I have no idea if he's going to make it. Okay. He's got speed. I saw a really nice kick return the other day. I don't think he's as bad as he's been portrayed because of the fumbles. I think he has a chance. It's going to take a little bit of time. I just look at the roster, and I said this to you in July. This is not Monday morning quarterback. They have the worst roster in the National Football League. Worse than Houston. That's a fact. You go look. Houston has Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. We don't have a Laremy Tunsil anywhere on our offensive line. Do they need a quarterback? Absolutely. They 100% do. But if you stack their roster, which isn't good, against our roster, other than Justin, their roster is better.
Ultimately, this is the epitome of starting from scratch if you're the Bears.
Correct.
I mean, from the beginning. And here's why I could say that without any pause. For the most optimistic Bears fan, It's about the development of Justin Fields, making plays in the pocket and better value of the football. That guy carries the football like a loaf of bread. He's got to get better as far as securing the football.
No doubt.
He's got no value of the football, the way he fumbles it over and over again. And that's not offensive line. That's just his inability to hold on to the football. You know, you got to be able to find three or four new offensive linemen. You got to find two or three wide receivers. You've got to be able to find a defensive line, not just a player, a line that can get pressure.
Yeah, like five guys that can rotate in.
Line. Not like one play, like the line.
Correct.
Like a whole line.
Correct.
When you are last in sacks, you have to look and say, well, where are we getting pressure? You're not getting pressure from anywhere.
Nowhere. And we've got no three technique in the middle that helps stop the run.
So when I go back to the draft picks and talk about Velus Jones and talk about Brisker and Jones and Gordon and Dominique Robinson, I said tongue-in-cheek with you, the only guy that really I could tell for sure is the guy is Gill.
Yeah, the punter.
Because that guy can come back for me next year, sure, because he's in good field position. But you have to make significant upgrades in free agency. Oh, and by the way, yeah, what about the head coach? He's got to be more than a CEO in a Bears hat to be able to implement his HITS principles. He comes in here with these HITS principles. The Bears are not even a one-hit wonder. There's no HITS principles. You're not even one-hit wonder at this particular time. I'm watching a guy here that's looking around and saying, I got to look at the tape. And then when you see the tape, it's the same result. It's still a loss.
So, Jonathan, I have been supportive of Matt Eberflus, have I not?
David, yes.
I, for the first time, have serious doubts about his viability long-term as a head football coach. I'm being serious with you here.
Just got here. What do you mean?
I think he's a good man. I think he's an intelligent human being.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he kept Justin Fields on the field the other day when he's A, in the blue tent to get his concussion checked, he cleared, and then they got to use the Theragun on his legs because his legs are cramping up, and his shoulder, he has said multiple times, yeah, I dinged it again in the Buffalo game. I did this when I pushed off on Kenny Clark in the Packer game, and you keep playing him. Do not listen to people that tell you he's learning. He's out there. He's learning. These are good situations. That's an idiotic, stupid take. He is the future of this franchise. He's got no receivers. Stop with the Claypool love. He's the number one. Yeah, okay. He's got no receivers. He was running for his life. Did he miss some opportunities to throw the ball away? No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. The guy's got PTSD. He's been sacked more times this season than any quarterback in the history of the franchise. 55 times so far. If they run him out there on Sunday, that's coaching malpractice. That's exactly what it is. I don't care if he's going to break Lamar Jackson's record if he gets, what did I tell you, Shea? 64 more yards? 63 more
Correct.
Yards? 64. 64 yards. What does that mean to me? Nothing.
Right.
If he plays, it is idiotic, it is stupid, and the fact that they kept that kid in the game down 38-10, do not listen to anyone that tells you these are learning situations. He learned nothing except how to get the ever-living H beaten out of him.
Now, here's the difference between the National Football League and the NBA. If an NBA player says, I want to get out there and I want to play, it's a player's league. Mm-hmm. And they control it. It's the most 50-50 there is in sports in which a player and personnel are, or a player and people that are in the front office are pretty much on the same page, Cap. 50-50, right?
Agreed.
NBA players and coaches and personnel.
That's why you need a coach who can get along but still coach the players.
But in the NFL, it's different, though. My point is, in the NFL, it's different in which, you know, if Justin Fields keeps telling Eberflus, yeah, I'm good, you know, I can go out there and play. You know what? The answer is no. You may feel like you could play, but I have to be able to do what's best for this football team and what's best for you. I mean, what else do you need to see if you are Eberflus as a head coach? If you're Poles, what else do you need to see from Justin Fields that says, okay, if he plays this one more game, then that gives us exactly everything we need, all the intel that we need to be able to discover whether or not this guy is our guy or not? There's nothing else to see.
Correct.
You don't learn anything from the Viking game? Here's what I saw. I saw 75 passing yards, 7 for 21 passing for Fields. I saw 55 combined rushing yards for Herbert and Montgomery. I saw 3 for 13 on third down. 7 sacks allowed and a partridge in a pear tree. There's nothing else for me to see. That's. I mean, so there's. I said this, Shay, I believe when I was in New York, I said this against when they played the Jets. Like, there's nothing else for me to see even back then. I didn't need to see Justin Fields back out there again. We know that he's going to be the quarterback moving forward. If really it's about trying to get the number one or number two pick, then you know what? You play Peterman. If that's what it's about. You want to solidify your number two spot, then you have the backup quarterback in place. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then what's the point then? What is it that they need to see that says, you know what, I think we need to play him one more time against the Vikings?
Nothing, and that's my point. It's stupid. It is dumb. It is arrogant. It is idiotic. And if they run that kid out there on Sunday and something happens to him, they should all, I'm talking the whole crew, the GM, the head coach, all of them should be fired. If they put him out and he gets hurt, you're putting your career on the line. If that kid, what if he blows an ACL? What if he gets hit and he further damages the what if he damages his throwing shoulder? Not even the other side. Well, we thought Justin was learning. He's a football player. Football players play. No, they play when it matters. This game does not matter. And if we want to truly be honest, you don't want to win. It would be so Bears-like to slide to the fourth or fifth pick by winning. Dumb, idiotic coaching at 38-10 to leave him in.
You save him from himself. I'm sure he keeps telling the coaching staff, I can go.
I love it.
And so you say you can go. We know you're a gamer. We know that you'll play hurt. We know that you'll play injured. Okay, so all of that has been solidified. So what else do you need to know?
Completely agree. There's nothing else I'm going to learn. Justin, I love that you want to play, man. You're not dressing on Sunday. You're out. I'm going with Peterman and whoever, Tim Boyle, mm-hmm. whoever it is, the guy on the backup. No, absolutely not. And do not be fooled. There's things he can learn. No, there isn't.
Not anymore. Not against the Vikings.
Not at that risk.
No, absolutely not. So, Shay, let's open the phone lines here this morning. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Should the Bears have sat Justin Fields on Sunday, do you want to see him against the Vikings? Let's get your thoughts overall about the Bears here. It's the first time, obviously, this year that we've talked together about the Bears. So let's discuss it. It's Chicago's home for sports, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. That's why I
say amen. Shot. No shot. And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
amen, I should. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JC, we got you here until 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:35. But as always, we give you shot or no shot every day at 8 o'clock and is brought to you by...
Here's Snorling.
That morning, one's, fellas. That one's open for 23. First shot or no shot of the year. Newly opened.
Not a lot open on the show. That's now open.
Well, newly opened real estate.
That's exactly right.
Attention, Mindy.
I threw it out to you, Cap, because we want everyone to know that we have a we put a stick in the grass here, stick in the lawn.
Correct.
Would you like to take care of shot or no shot? We're right here for you.
Yep.
Valuable real estate here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Not a lot. There you go, Secretariat. Good morning.
Get your ass back in there. Not yet.
Get your beak out of shot or no shot, Cap, Secretariat.
Cap, would you tell him? We got a couple of emails. Tell Secretariat, not yet.
Yeah, not yet, buddy.
He's still working on it. He's still around.
Yeah.
Not just a second. No one gave him an email, apparently.
Ran back into the barn.
Yeah, he's like, not
all
yet.
Right, I'll
New
go back
Year,
to the barn.
Same Secretariat.
Okay.
Laminitis is still an issue.
What is he coming out there for, Cap? Did you tell him?
I forgot.
All right.
I didn't send him a memo.
You're Snorling.
All All right, let's start the new year with a Bears heavy shot or no shot. Matt Eberflus was asked about the status of Justin Fields this week against Minnesota. He let slip that Ryan Poles will be involved in the decision. Take a listen to this.
Like I said, we're working on that, on everybody, you know, including Justin, and we're going to visit with Ryan, the rest of the coaching staff, and the health of the football team, the entire health of the team. To me, is you know, where we were 2 weeks ago is different than where we are now. You know, so I think it's important that we evaluate that.
Shot or no shot, if Poles is involved, Fields will not play on Sunday.
That's a shot. It's
a shot, yeah.
I said earlier, if they let that kid go out there and play behind this lousy-ass offensive line with no receivers, and you actually now are within one game of picking in the top two that could determine the future of your franchise if you use the pick wisely, whether that's a trade or a selection, and you put him out there, and he gets hurt, if I'm the owner, I would tell them, I hired you to run the football team. If that kid gets seriously injured, you're fired.
Well,
is it worth it to you?
If I'm Ryan Poles, and I got to tell you that in week 17, then there's an issue.
You mean if you're George McCaskey?
No, if I'm, he said the general manager.
Oh, okay.
Poles, if I got to tell Eberflus, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't play. If you don't know that, if you don't think that's, if that's not common sense to you, and I got to tell you and convince you you probably shouldn't play him, that's a major red flag for me.
And whether the game ends on Sunday and the Bears have lost, Justin's played amazing, he's played lousy, and he doesn't get hurt, is irrelevant. The fact that you would risk that kid's health shows me absolute idiocy if you do it.
All right. You're Eberflus on Poles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt, so what do you think of for week 17 for Justin?
He's a football player, and I think he can learn from all the situations. We're going to play him.
Okay. He's not really 100%. You sure that's wise?
Justin tells me he feels good enough to go, and I feel like every situation is a learning experience for him.
Okay. I think we've seen a lot from Justin. Is there anything that you don't know about Justin so far through 16 and through training camp and practice?
No, I'm sold. He's our guy going forward.
I think probably shouldn't play him. I think we probably shouldn't play him. We're pretty close to the number two pick, maybe number one. And maybe we could see what we get in Peterman for a backup next year.
Peterman's got no chance.
Okay.
We will not win if Peterman's playing.
Okay. Think probably you should go in a different direction. I think since you know everything we know about Justin, we can't learn anything in the Minnesota game, can we?
Are you telling me how to coach the team? Because if you're my boss.
Yeah.
If you're telling me not to play him, I won't violate what my boss tells me, but is it my decision or yours?
I think it's collaborative in this situation since our biggest asset is Justin Fields, so I'm lightly suggesting my vote would be probably not to play him. So it's your decision, but I would suggest to do what's best for the young man.
Okay, now can we reverse the roles and I'll be Poles and you be Eberflus?
Sure.
Tell me your thoughts, what you want to do with Justin this week for the final game.
Young man says that he wants to play, he wants to lead this football team, and I'm going to allow him to do that.
So you're planning on starting him?
Yes.
Matt, if you're that stupid that you're going to put him out there to risk his future and to risk us picking number two, you're dumber than I thought you were.
Are you calling me stupid and dumb?
I am.
Oh.
If you put him out there and he gets hurt, I will fire your ass.
Hmm.
Because that's one of the dumbest things you've ever said.
You know what? You could take the whistle then.
Great.
I'll walk out.
Can we please get a check? Hey, bookkeeping, I need a check. How much is Eberflus owed? Give him that, put it in a cardboard box, and get his ass out of here. If he's this stupid,
okay,
he's not. He cannot be that dumb. He cannot.
How about that? Shay, he called me stupid and dumb. You hear that?
Yeah, I think he called Eberflus stupid and dumb. He'd never call you stupid and dumb.
Well, not
he's the sportscaster of the year.
Well, not with the door closed. Go ahead.
Only to me in the morning before you get here would he say that.
Now with the door closed and me this close to him, he wouldn't say that now. Maybe in an open field.
Correct. Go a little quicker.
Go ahead.
All right, the Bears have a realistic shot at securing the number one pick in the draft, with the Texans playing the corpse of the Indianapolis Colts in the finale and the Vikings needing a win over the Bears to guarantee two home playoff games. So my question's simple. Shot or no shot, the Bears will get the number one pick.
That's a no shot. Like, the Texans will lay down. They'll lay down.
I don't know about that.
They'll lay down.
I think it's a shot. I absolutely think it's a shot. Doesn't mean they're going to, but the Colts are horrifically bad. I keep hearing Lovey's not going anywhere, that they like him down there and that they play hard for him. We'll find out, because David, they said the same about David Culley, and they gave him a check and kicked him out after 1 year.
Well, that's, you know what? He deserved that. 65 years of age, he was able to cash in. That was his lottery ticket.
Honey, I secured the bag. That's
exactly right. Brother Culley, after all those years.
Where do you want to go?
Years of service.
Right.
There you go, Brother Culley.
Lovey's got all the money. He doesn't need it.
The Texans will find a way to lose that football game. They will punt it on second down, Cap. It'll be 6-3 Colts with a victory. They'll do whatever it takes. Lay down.
If they win and the Bears screw it up and win.
Well, here's a guarantee. Bears will not win Sunday. They were not going to beat the Vikings.
I don't believe they will.
Not even with the Vikings backups. They're not going.
Especially with the Vikings coming off the pounding that they took.
Yeah. So let's just cross that out. The Bears were not going to win on Sunday. I don't care. The Bears can have all their starters. It's still not good enough. Even against the backups of the Vikings. I don't care. This is the game we focus on. Texans, Colts. What happens there? I think the Texans will do all they can to lay down for that number one pick. Lay down.
I don't think so. I do not. I do not.
So what's the question?
Shot or no shot, the Bears will get the number one pick.
That's a no shot.
That's a shot. I absolutely think it is a shot.
And Shay, I'll say what I've been maintaining for months now here on the show. One, two, it's just about status. Because if the number one doesn't work out, Cap's the first one to say, we got the number one pick and that guy sucked. And so it's just what you say, right? One, two, it doesn't matter. You can be able to fill a bucket with somebody of a great consequence, number one or number two in this draft. Somebody. Shay.
All right. Two more questions, boys. I want to ask about something that went crazy last week in terms of the Bears potentially trading out of their pick to get a wide receiver. The Raiders have announced that they are open for business. They sat Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. They didn't just sit him. They exiled him from the team, and they told him they're going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Adams is being put in trade rumors now. The Raiders will possess the number 9 pick most likely in the NFL draft. So my question, shot or no shot, the Bears should trade out of their top pick for Devontae Adams and number 9.
That's a no shot. Devontae Adams on this football team, so that's one weapon. And then what?
Correct. That's A. I think I can get a lot more than one first-round pick at number 9 and a 30-year-old wide receiver. Good football player.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we're halfway decent, he's going to be 33 turning 34. No shot.
Which is the equivalent of picking up T.O. at this point.
And
33 and 34.
Devontae Adams might say, I'm not going to Chicago. Not interested.
Yeah. Yes, he should be traded, just not Chicago. Not to the worst franchise.
Well, the rumor is that Brady may be going there. And if that's the case, Devontae Adams is going nowhere.
I know this is around the NFL type of topic, Shay, but let me just point this out. Brady shouldn't go to the Raiders either. And the reason why is because whatever you think of Derek Carr, if I said Derek Carr, you say what? If I say Derek Carr, you say,
yeah.
Okay. And the reason why that is because the teams that he's been on, the defense that he's been surrounded around has been awful. Their defense year after year has been bad.
Correct.
If you think Derek Carr is just milquetoast or vanilla, that's fine. Milquetoast and vanilla can win games in the National Football League, Cap. Now, he's not in the upper echelon. He's kind of in the middle, I would say, amongst quarterbacks in the NFL. Right? He's in the middle. Okay, so, but ultimately, the reason why the Raiders can't win, undisciplined one, but number two, their defenses year in and year out have been just substandard.
Lousy.
So we could say that it's Derek Carr's fault because we always focus on offense and the quarterback. Ultimately, if Derek Carr is in the right situation, he can be able to flourish because we have seen him be able to take a team, get down the field, maybe fall short at the end, but he can move the football. He is a good quarterback in this league. Is he upper echelon like these young quarterbacks we talk about all the time with Josh Allen and Burrow? And I wouldn't say that, but I think he's in the middle to be able to help you. He's not Sam Darnold. He's better than that. But I think that's ultimately the reason is because the Raiders' defense has been so bad over the years.
It's just a bad football team.
So if I'm Brady, I don't go there either.
There's there's no way that I am giving up one, number one or two for a 30-year-old wide receiver who's a hell of a football player.
Mm-hmm.
And the ninth pick? No, not doing it.
We got Albert Breer coming up at 8:35. But coming up, we go around the National Football League. Keep it locked on Cap and J-Hood.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J-Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. Happy New Year to you and your family. Hope that you're going to have a great 2023. We will turn now to our guy, our favorite Gator, Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago and, of course, our family here at ESPN 1000. Alex joins us here on Cap and J-Hood every morning after a Bears game. Of course, it's Tuesday here, so we got to get a chance to talk to our guy, AB. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, AB?
Not much, man. Not much. Crazy thing happened last night, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll ask you now, if for those that are just waking up, did not watch Monday Night Football, safety Damar Hamlin had his heartbeat restored after suffering cardiac arrest on Monday night against the Bengals, and right now he's in critical condition at the Cincinnati Hospital. That's the latest that we've heard. So, Alex, just your initial reaction to this, because as Cap and I have been talking about this morning, just it's great. The Bills, the Bengals, all huddling, praying for Hamlin. What was your initial reaction to watch this story unfold?
I was sitting here watching it, and I think, obviously, the first thing that comes to mind, you want to send prayers to the Hamlin family, him, and pray that he gets better. I think it was a really, really cruel reminder of just how violent of a sport that football is. That's what I think it was. This right here is something that can happen each and every play. Yes, somebody can. This young man right here is fighting for his life right now, but it is possible playing the game of football that you can be killed on any play or be put in critical condition on any play. And that play wasn't a crazy violent hit from what it looked like. But the things that this game right here can do to your body, it's tough. It's tough. But watching it, I've never been in that situation where you had to watch a player get resuscitated on the field, and then like try to refocus, and you saw Diggs and trying to get the guys to refocus and like let's go, because the thought is we still got to play. And then they postponed or suspended the game, then postponed it. But I've been through a couple, not necessarily during the game, but I know we all remember Gaines Adams in Chicago. And right after, I mean, it was work. Like, right after, yeah, I mean, he passed away, but it was like we had to go to work the next day, you know? My pops, talked to my pops, and he said, that is a sad situation, but, and my dad is old school, man. He's like, the sun is coming up tomorrow. And that's just the bottom line. And that's how he said it to me. And I was like, well, I mean, he's right. The sun is coming up, but you do feel for that family.
So the Bills flew home last night. Stephon Diggs did not go with the team. He is at the hospital. They're very, very close, and he is there with him. So if the league called today and said, all right, we're playing this game tomorrow, do you think not Alex Brown, old school Alex and Lance and Urlach, today's athlete would say, no, we're not playing tomorrow?
What today's athlete, they're going to have to cancel this. Like, completely either give it a tie or something, because these players aren't playing this game. It's not going to happen. The NFL can say what they want. The players aren't going to do it. Like, in today's world, these players, they're not playing. They're going to wait until this young man right here is safe. If he comes out of this critical condition and he actually is okay, then maybe they'll think about playing that game. But I don't think this is for the NFL to decide. I think this is going to be the coaches getting a pulse or getting a feel for how their team is, and then they're going to make a decision as a team to play. I don't believe the NFL can make this decision. As far as, I don't think the NFL made a decision last night to postpone the game. They weren't going to get those players to go back out there and play.
Yeah, Troy Vincent came out and said, I got a hold of Roger Goodell, or he got a hold of Troy, and we talked. He said, we never considered going back out to play. The players immediately conveyed through the team leadership, Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and these guys, Diggs, we're not playing. And he said that it was never even a consideration.
Well, I don't really buy that, because, I went on Twitter and Instagram, and you start to see stuff, and you start to see, yes, this is what's on everybody's mind right now. But I'm telling you, the NFL is trying to figure out how do they, because they do have a business that they have to keep running. And how do they get this game in? Because that game truly, and nobody's really thinking about that game, I understand it, but it has to be said, because this is a business that NFL is has right here. So they need to know what effect this game right here has when you can't put a win or loss on it, or a tie. Kansas City is affected by this, you know, by the outcome of that game, on where they're going to be in the playoffs. And I get what everybody's saying as far as football is secondary. For sure, it's secondary to this. But it's still secondary. It still exists, is what I'm saying. So I think the NFL has a problem on their hands right now as far as the football side go. Everybody's focused on this young man and hoping for that he can come out of this critical condition, for sure. But there is another side to this. There is a side that where life does continue, right? Because this young man is fighting for his life, but things like things happen every day, and we continue. Like, when, well, I know we all remember, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Brett Favre, dad passed away, he came out and he played like crazy, right? And he had this amazing game.
Yeah.
Like, it continues, right? Like, life continues. It doesn't stop. Like, when I got up this morning, you guys at work, we do this every week. We had to, like, we're on the phone again. I'm sure people that are at work, they had to get up and go to work, because life continues. We do feel for the family and this young man and pray for him. But life does continue.
Let's go back to when you played, Alex, because I've heard former players already this morning talk about, you know, they've seen players go down because of injury, you know, broken bones, tough hits, being able to be on that board that you don't want to be on, and being stretchered out. But there's always this feeling from some players that said, you know what, even though this player is not going to be playing in this game, he's stretchered out or had to be taken off, that you're optimistic because that's one of your brothers out there, that he's going to be okay. But if you're on that field, I'm sure the raw emotion had to come out, even if you're out there saying, okay, he had cardiac arrest, he stopped breathing, he had to be revived, had his heartbeat be restored. I mean, there's got to be a different feeling than just, hey, this guy's got a broken leg or whatever.
No, I would think so. Yeah. I've never been through anything like that, but absolutely. I think that would be something totally different. It was almost like for us, I think it was a 2009 season when Urlacher broke his wrist against Green Bay in the first game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was like a punch in the gut, and everybody was like, God, man, how do we win without this guy? You know, like, this right here is like light years ahead of that, right? This is somebody truly, I mean, when your heart stops, like, you're essentially dead on the field, that they had to bring him back. So, yeah, that is something totally different, I would have to imagine. Very tough for a team, if even possible, for players to refocus and go back into that mode of hitting someone. But, yes, they're going to have to make a decision. There are some players we're going to see from this game, they're going to have to make a decision about themselves. I spoke with my little brother who played football at VSU last night, and he was in Navy, and then my other brother was in the Army, played football. What he said, my little brother said, was he would be making a very strong decision or consideration to retire after seeing that right there, because that wasn't a violent hit. It wasn't. It is a reminder just what these athletes go through each and every time they go on that football field. They truly put their lives on the line. And this right here was a, like I said earlier, this last night was a reminder of just how violent of a sport football is.
Alex, away from what we watched last night, mm-hmm. Justin Fields got sacked 7 times on Sunday. The offensive line lost 2 more of their starters. I'm not saying it's a great unit, but now it's down 2 more of their starters, Schofield and Tevin Jenkins. I'll be shocked if either one plays this week. And it's 38-10. He's already been checked for a concussion. He's already said multiple times, yeah, my left shoulder, you know, I feel it. How in the hell is he in the game at 38-10? I thought that was coaching malpractice, A. B, is there any scenario that he plays this week?
Oh, he definitely plays this week.
That's horrible.
Because, no, he definitely plays, because the part you didn't mention was he, as a competitor, has an opportunity to do something a quarterback has never done, and that is to rush for the most yards ever by a quarterback in the history of the NFL. He has an opportunity to do that, and I don't think that they'll take this opportunity away from him. Not at this point. Not when he's so close to it. I could be off here. I think he's about 64 yards or something like that.
64 away. Yards gives him the record.
Yeah. They're going to give him that chance. Absolutely. Now, if that wasn't the case, then I don't think he'd play at all. But because that is, oh, yeah, they're going to, as soon as he gets the record, I would not be shocked to see him come out of that game. So I would have taken him out. I've been saying this for weeks, man. I would have taken him out the second that left shoulder started acting up. Mm-hmm. When he missed that game, it's over. You're done. Now we're on a 9-10-game losing streak, whatever it is.
9, yeah.
I mean, he's gone. Yeah, it's over. It's over. I'm not putting my franchise quarterback in harm's way, and he's already injured. He's already not even close to 100%. He's lost a number of weapons with Mooney. He's lost protection. Even though the protection wasn't that good, he's losing that protection. It's not a good situation to put him in, but they're going to do it because he is so close to that record. They're going to do it. It's not that they're trying to win. It's not that they're trying to have him learn under fire or learn. You can't learn the game without being in the game. I totally get that. What you're doing right now is he's learning bad habits because he is being sacked and hit so much. He doesn't have time to go through the progression. He doesn't have time. He is one look at that guy as an open, he is taking off and running, or he is seeing the rush get to him. That is not what you want from your quarterback, and I wouldn't put him out there because of those bad habits, but I would have done that 3-4 weeks ago. So right now, yeah, he's going out there because that record is in sight, and I don't think you can keep him off the field at this point because the record is so close.
Alex, lastly, and we got a minute left, did you think that the defense shut it down against Detroit? Did they quit?
Is there any question? I don't think there's any question about it. I think the guys, man, I'm not going to say they quit. When you say a player quit, that is, it doesn't get any worse than that. I don't think the effort was there. I don't think the focus was there like it has been in the past. It has nothing to do, in my opinion, with a 9-game losing streak because, hell, they were on a 4-game and a 5-game and a 6-game and a 7-game losing streak, and we saw the effort. The effort was still there. They weren't playing very well, but the effort was there. This past week, I didn't see the effort. And I don't think they quit. I just think that the focus and the effort wasn't there. And that's not indicative of a team that we have seen Eberflus put out there on a week-in and week-out basis. I didn't like that, and I hope they change that around because that's not the taste you want to go into the offseason with. So you want to go in, you want to play hard. If they're keeping score, you want to win. So go out there, do your best, and understand that this is another opportunity for you to go out and prove to Coach Eberflus and even the NFL that you still belong in the NFL and that you belong on this football team. When they turn it around and they become a good football team, that you want to be a part of that solution and not a part of the problem where they're going to get you up out of here after this year.
Alex, as always, we appreciate it, my friend.
Miss you, AB.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it, man. Miss you too, my man. We'll talk soon.
We'll talk.
Go Dogs.
Oh, go Gators, guys.
I didn't see you out there this past weekend. What you mean, go Gators?
You know what? I am shocked.
Shocked.
And not shocked. I'm shocked how the Bulldogs played, how they came back, and Ohio State played their best. Mm-hmm. And they could not beat them damn Bulldogs. Man, they're going to win it again. And what everybody wants to see, you want to see everybody get a chance? Okay, TCU has a chance. They're going to lose by 40.
Alex Brown with us here on Chicago's Hope for Sports. Where was Chase Claypool on Sunday? We try to locate Chase next.
Milk carton.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Carmen Yurko come your way at 12 o'clock, Greeny at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Meller from 2 to 6 into Bleck and Abdallah at 6, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. There's so much that was going on yesterday, Cap, when it came to Hamlin and the cardiac arrest that he suffered in Monday Night Football. But at the same time, you and I are watching the Bulls on another screen, and the Bulls in overtime lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers 145-134. That's not the story that they lost. I mean, the Bulls lost and water's wet. I mean, that's pretty commonplace as of late, especially against teams that they should beat. Nonetheless, Donovan Mitchell with a historic performance of 71 points, the most since Kobe did it to the Raptors. Of course, the top number is Chamberlain with 100, but I mean, Donovan Mitchell scored 71 against this team. 71 of the 145 came from one player. Is that not a microcosm of Bulls basketball so far this season?
Well, few things to unpack from that game. First of all, you explain to me how no one, I'm talking no one, I'm not asking you to take his legs out and injure the man. Nobody said, Coach, I got him. Let me have a shot at him. And shot goes up. You close out hard to block him out. Oh, foul. Okay. I'll help you up. Dude, you're not going to get free looks all night long. I watched him dribble up the court. I watched Zach LaVine backpedal and Donovan Mitchell just step right into a three multiple times. Mm-hmm. This happened. Multiple. Nobody, not one guy says, boom, not going to get free looks all night, bud. Not going to happen. Really? That blew me away. That's A. B, the shot when he misses the free throw and then goes and throws it in to tie the game, that's illegal. That will come out in the 2-minute report. I reached out to multiple referees last night. Is that legal? Every single one of them watched the replay and got back to me, and everyone said no. And one official, that is his job. Guys, if you're not lined up along the lane, you cannot cross the free throw line until the ball hits the rim. Donovan Mitchell lets the ball go and jumps into the lane. It's clear as day. It's not reviewable. Why that would not be reviewable, I don't know. They missed the call. The basket should never have counted. So the Bulls got screwed there. But when you blow a 21-point lead and allow someone to score 71, you deserve every awful thing that happens to you because you embarrassed yourselves last night. Again.
It was just inexplicable to watch this again, where the Bulls just refuse to box out. They refuse to make defensive plays when it matters. In crucial times, they don't have the personnel, or they don't have the temerity, or they don't have the gumption, or they don't have the balls to be able to make stops. You scored 134 points and lost. You give up 71 to one player. The Bulls have beat good teams like Milwaukee and Miami and Dallas,
Boston.
And the Boston and the Utah Jazz. But you jagged a 21-point lead. That's what you did last night. Yeah, a 21-point lead is just squandered because you can't make stops and you don't make plays. And I'll tell you something else about Billy Donovan, too. Billy Donovan, you can sit there and you can chomp your gum and you can just sit there and tell the press or tell Joe Cowley, because he was the only one that was covering yesterday, that, well, you know, we just have to be able to just make a few adjustments here and there. Let me tell you something right now. You cannot just sit there like it's a preseason game in October and keep tolerating this. They keep kicking you in the ass time and time again to the tune of a 16-21 record, and you're just sitting there. I mean, it could be a personnel issue, but definitely it's a coaching issue, and it's all-encompassing. When you lose like that, Cap, it's everybody. It's not just the players.
Agreed.
It's just like, so your system is to be able to just outscore teams. You're just not going to stop anybody. You're going to let a guy score 71 on you? And so Donovan Mitchell was so, I thought, terrific in the post-game press conference yesterday. Because he's talking about what you were just talking about with that one play. You're just not going to box out? Did the Bulls just not lose a game against Atlanta at State Farm Arena the same way because you did not want to box out little Hawk Griffin, Adrian Griffin's kid?
You're talking about in the lob play.
Yeah. You're just not going to have any semblance of defense. You're not going to stop anybody. You just want to try to outscore teams. You're not going to have any semblance of defense. Here is Donovan discussing inconsistent fouling and missed violation.
And I want to go back and look at the film because, you know, I just think overall the game was, to be honest with you, hard to watch at times. You know, it really was. But, you know, the thing I'm anxious to see, because, you know,
because of the stoppage.
I mean, just some of the consistency on the fouls. You know what I mean? That was my thing, is just the consistency. I'm fine. You know, I'm not, I very, 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 very rarely argue a call for another team. But when our guys are getting fouled, you know, I think that's, you know, I'm going to try to fight for them. And I think the two-minute report will come out and say he crossed the line. And I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But at least what I saw on film, it made it hard for Patrick to block him out because he was certainly across the free throw line before the ball hit the rim. And my question it would be is, who's looking at that? If that's what the rule is, then clearly we're going to see that in the two-minute report.
Okay, I'm glad he said that. Billy Donovan's talking about that. But what about all those other plays in which you have a guy that's giving pull-up threes? It's not just he scored 71. He was efficient. 22 for 34 from the field. 7 of 15 from three. 20 of 25 from the foul line.
Dude, he had 11 assists. It's never happened in the history of the sport that someone scored that many points and had double-figure assists.
What do you think he's more bothered by, Billy Donovan? Giving up 71 and losing like that and then jagging a 21-point lead, or that official missing that call? What do you think bothers him the most this morning?
Giving up the lead and allowing a guy to score 71. I think in the micro look, he's ticked because the two-minute report from Saturday said we missed it. DeMar got fouled on the last shot. He should have gone to the line. Bulls win. Now he gets screwed again on Monday night. Again? I think he has a valid criticism, but I think privately, Billy's not a guy who throws his players under the bus. That's why they like playing for him. I think at practice today, Billy is going to go, guys, what in the hell is going on defensively? And then the way we take care of the basketball sometimes and blow a 21-point lead cannot happen.
It's not going to get better. Because that's who they are, Cap. That's who they are.
It's a poorly constructed roster.
But it's a Billy Donovan coach team. It's not Oklahoma City. It's just not going to get better. I said this 2 years ago and got ridiculed for it. That's fine. I just know Billy Donovan's. It's just not going to get better. And so for those that want to say, well, you're 16-21, you got to make a trade. You got to make a deal here. Can I just make sure it's very clear? A trade will not make this team significantly better. A trade won't get that done. Because if you make a trade, that means that you still got to get past Boston and Brooklyn and Milwaukee and the Cavs and the 76ers. A trade will not change this.
Agreed.
Because that's all we've been hearing over the Christmas. Oh, well, the Bulls have to trade DeMar to the Lakers. They have to get rid of LaVine. A trade is not going to get that done.
Agreed.
It's more than a trade.
It's not Lonzo Ball walking through that door.
That's not going to get it better either.
Agreed.
71 points. What the hell? Seriously?
Agreed.
And by the way, if you're wild and you're long and athletic, you can beat the Bulls too. How are the Bulls losing against the Rockets a few days ago? How are they losing? I'm texting with Ryan Hollins, a color analyst for the Rockets. I go, you guys are immature and you're long and athletic. You're going to beat the Bulls tonight. And Ryan's like, no, there's no way. I was like, you're going to win. Guess what? They knocked it down. They won because if you're long and athletic like Orlando or like Houston or Oklahoma City, New Orleans, same way, the Bulls have no chance because they don't have enough size and they don't stop anybody. it's just but so strange about the season is, but you can beat Milwaukee
or Boston twice.
How? Right? It's just a shame because I see talent on this team, but there should be no push and pull between LaVine and DeRozan. Whose team is it? I don't care whose team it is. You can't work together. You can't do better than that. A guy just pulling up, as you mentioned, going coast to coast, pulling up for threes because there's not a bull in the area to be able to stop that guy. It's like what you said about Klay Thompson. You're not going to defend him. You're not going to make him uncomfortable. Just let him just shoot the basketball.
That's my problem. That is my problem with this basketball team. The Klay Thompson thing, Billy was not here. He was coaching in Oklahoma City. It's not a Billy thing. It is a mentality thing. Old school, not happening. 71? At some point, somebody says, Donovan, sorry, man, not happening. Not on my watch.
You seen Patrick Williams lately?
I have. He's getting more run. Hit a couple threes last night. What do you have, 10 points, 5 rebounds?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting more run down at the at crunch time. He's 21 years of age.
I want more.
I don't blame you. I do too.
I don't mean all-star, but I'm just saying get in there and get a little dirty. Mix into the mix. Stop being on the perimeter. I know you're big, and it's like you're just waiting for your open shot. Get in there. Get the tough rebound.
Yeah.
Why can't I get 8 to 10 rebounds from him a night?
Well, one, the way that he is used, he is more out on the perimeter guarding. Vooch is inside. Drummond is inside. Patrick is used because he's got long arms. He's aggressive. He gets down and guards you. LeBron talked about that guy's one of the hardest guys to play against. He's out on the perimeter. That is going to affect his rebounding numbers.
I want him to crash the boards more and get easy baskets. That's what I want. I want him to get in there on offensive rebound and get putbacks. Those are easy baskets for someone his size. That's what I want.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm keeping my eyes on him because I know that's your guy.
I like him. We'll see.
Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day coming up on ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.